If you're operating in money markets, you are probably, let's be honest, obsessively monitoring your positions.
Mm-hmm.
You're watching that health factor, just praying it stays high, maybe checking it hourly or, I don't know, every 15 minutes on a bad day.
We've all been there.
But the truth is, if you're only relying on that one number, you're doing basic monitoring. You're not doing professional risk management. Okay, let's unpack this. We're here because you want to move beyond just hoping. We're going to design a complete system, a framework that's all about protecting your capital first.
Right.
We're going to extract the core components of this system, covering four critical phases: portfolio diversification, building a proper risk scoring matrix, designing your hedging strategy, and this is the big one, defining your emergency exit procedures.
That's exactly it. When we talk about advanced risk management, the goal isn't just to chase the highest APY. The professional focus is always on creating these liquidation protection systems. You're building a foundation for multi-protocol operations that can defend your capital almost automatically, no matter how crazy the market gets.
So let's start with that foundation. Phase one, the foundation of safety portfolio diversification. When most people hear diversification, they just think, okay, I'll mix some ETH and some Bitcoin.
Yeah, that's the classic view.
But in DeFi lending, that's just one dimension of risk. We need to manage multi-dimensional risks across protocols, across assets, and even across different strategy types.
That's the crucial distinction. You need to diversify because the risks are so specific. You have protocol bugs, which can drain a pool in minutes.
The total loss event.
The total loss. Then there are governance attacks, liquidity fragmentation that can trap you, even just variations in insurance coverage from one platform to another. You need a structure that counters all of them at once. So this requires really a three-pronged framework. First, diversification by protocol. You have to allocate your capital based on how battle-tested a platform is.
Okay.
The analysis we're looking at recommends putting the largest slice, maybe 40 to 50%, into Evav. It's cited for its deep liquidity, its longevity, its insurance coverage.
Right, it's the blue chip.
It's the blue chip. Then, say, 20 to 30% into something like Morpho for its capital efficiency. And then maybe 10 to 20% into platforms like Euler, which are known for more customization. You are literally spreading your smart contract risk.
So you're not just betting on one single code base staying secure forever?
Precisely. The second prong is about how you use those platforms. It's diversification by strategy. You absolutely must have a low-risk core.
Okay.
That means 60 to 70% of your capital should just be in supply-only positions. That's your foundation.
No leverage, just earning the base rate.
Just earning the base rate. Then, moderate leverage strategies for a bit of optimization, that's your 20 to 30% slice. And finally, the aggressive high-leverage plays. Those need to be tightly constrained to just 10 to 20% of your total portfolio.
That makes perfect sense. You scale the risk, but keep the riskiest stuff small.
Yeah.
But what about correlation? If everything drops together, and let's face it, it usually does, isn't even that structure still at risk?
And that brings us to the third, and I would argue, most strategic prong, correlation analysis. Assets like ETH, BTC, your LSTs, they all tend to move together. A 40% market drop means all your positions are bleeding out at the same time.
Right.
To truly diversify, you have to include assets that are non-correlated.
Okay, so wait, to get real non-correlation, you're talking about stable coins,
mm-hmm.
a huge portion of the portfolio,
yeah.
right? Are we saying we need to trade away a lot of potential APY by holding like 50 to 60% of our assets in stables?
It's a trade-off, definitely.
Right.
But it is essential for structural safety. You are sacrificing some immediate yield for liquidation protection. Remember the philosophy here.
Right.
Protect capital first.
Got it.
That huge stablecoin allocation acts like a shock absorber. When volatility spikes, those positions hold steady. They reduce your total portfolio's downside and, maybe more importantly, they ensure you have liquidity ready to go to defend your other positions. This structure is built to survive a 30% drop overnight.
Okay, we've built the safe structure. Now we have to operationalize the defense. That takes us to phase two. Defining risk, the assessment matrix, and monitoring. So the health factor is an output. A professional needs a detailed input system to generate a real risk score.
Correct. We're moving from a simple red light, green light system to a nuanced, weighted score. The risk assessment matrix we're drawing from synthesizes five critical factors, and we assign percentages based on their strategic importance.
So what are they?
The biggest one by far is protocol risk. We weight that at 30%.
30%? Wow. Why so high?
Because a protocol exploit is a catastrophic, 100% loss event, a liquidity crunch is just, it's a cost of exit problem.
Yeah.
So the security of the smart contract itself has to be paramount.
That makes sense.
Next is collateral volatility at 25%. Then the health factor itself gets a 20% weight. After that, liquidity risk, how fast you can get out, is 15%. And finally, oracle risk is 10%.
So you get this single quantitative number. What do we do with it? Like, what are the thresholds for action?
The score drives your action. A total risk score under 2.0, you're fine. That's the green zone. If your score is between 2.0 and 3.0, okay, you're now in a moderate risk zone. That means daily monitoring and getting your defenses ready.
And above 3.0?
Above 3.0 requires immediate systemic risk reduction. No waiting.
Here's where it gets really interesting for me. Once we have that score, what systems do we implement to prevent liquidation almost on autopilot? I guess we start with highly granular alerts, right? You need automated alerts, not just for big price swings, but for specific health factor thresholds, like if your HF drops below 1.8.
Exactly. But also for things like utilization spikes, which can jack up your borrowing costs. And crucially, for any protocol pause or incident announcement, you have to know before the rest of the market does.
And those alerts should trigger your dynamic management strategy.
Right. And the core of that defense is the reserve fund. We're talking about keeping 20 to 30% of your total capital in stable coins, but outside your active position.
So it's immediately available.
Immediately available. It's the buffer that lets you add collateral instantly when that alert hits, providing a really fast defense during a market panic. And you combine that reserve fund with conservative LTV. You don't borrow up to the max limit. You maintain a huge safety buffer by only borrowing 40 to 50% of the maximum.
That buffer is your contingency. It buys you time.
It buys you hours, maybe even days during a flash crash. It reduces that frantic need to be glued to your screen.
And now we have tools that can actually automate this. It's not about you waking up at 3 a.m. anymore. You can integrate tools like Keeper 3 or Chainlink automation.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be set up to automatically add collateral from your reserve fund if your HF dips below, say, 1.5. You can also use built-in features like Avi's safety module or Kamino's auto deleverage.
All parts of the system.
And for anyone listening, especially if you're building your first big positions, the key beginner tip here is this. The recommended absolute minimum health factor is 2.0. But honestly, professionals aim for 2.5 or higher. That's your real peace of mind.
Absolutely. Now we can move on to phase three. Limiting downside designing. Designing the hedging strategy. Hedging is, it's essentially buying insurance for your position.
Right.
You're taking an offsetting position to limit the downside of your collateral while still keeping most of the potential upside. The simplest method for most people in money markets is going to be stablecoin hedging. The mechanism is really straightforward. You borrow stablecoins against your volatile collateral, your ETH, your LSTs, and then you just hold those exact borrowed stables in reserve. You don't touch them.
Okay, let's use specific numbers because I think this example is really important for understanding how this works.
Let's do it. So imagine you deposit $20,000 worth of ETH as collateral. You then borrow $10,000 in USDC.
Damn.
And you hold that 10 grand in USDC.
Okay, so it's sitting there.
It's just sitting there. Now, if ETH has a black swan event and drops 50%, your collateral is suddenly only worth $10,000. Your debt is still $10,000.
You're right on the edge of liquidation.
You're on the brink. But what's your net capital loss? It's zero. Because the $10,000 loss in your collateral's value is perfectly offset by the $10,000 stablecoin reserve you were holding. That neutrality is the power of the hedge.
That's a really powerful way to neutralize that immediate volatility risk.
Mm-hmm.
But as you scale up, professionals look at more advanced techniques,
yeah.
Right? The analysis mentions options or futures hedging. How do you weigh the complexity of those against this simple stablecoin method?
It's that classic cost-benefit trade-off. Stablecoin hedging is easy, it's cheap to implement, but it does reduce the amount of your collateral that's actively working for you.
Sure.
Options and futures let 100% of your collateral stay productive, but they bring in new risks. You've got the premium cost for options or the active management and margin requirements for futures. Those are usually for institutional scale, where you have staff dedicated to managing them.
So for most people, the scalable middle ground is probably partial hedging. You don't have to hedge the whole position.
Correct. You can hedge just a portion, say 50%. That limits your downside on half your capital, while the other half gets the full benefit of any upside. The advice is to start at 0% hedging, and as you get into much larger positions, consider a 20 to 30% partial hedge.
Okay. We've built the structure, defined the risk, implemented the protection. Now we have to plan for failure. Phase four, the worst-case emergency exit procedures. And I think the key thing here is that you don't want to be designing your life raft while the ship is sinking. You have to define these responses before a crisis hits.
And that requires rigorous, and I mean honest, stress testing. Scenario analysis is just, it's non-negotiable. You have to map out three critical scenarios.
Which are?
Your base case, which is just expected volatility. Your stress case, where you assume a 30% collateral drop. And then the extreme case. A 50% drop combined with a protocol pause or an Oracle failure. For each one, you have to pre-calculate your health factor and figure out your exact exit steps. And this lets you define your critical exit triggers. When do you actually pull the plug? The framework lists a few. HF falling below 1.2, that's the absolute critical threshold.
A point no return.
Basically. A protocol exploit gets announced. A confirmed Oracle failure. A major collateral DPEG. Or a huge market crash, like over 30% in 24 hours. If any of those hit, you move. Immediately.
And speed is everything there. So you need predefined exit execution options. What are the fastest ways out?
Option one is the simplest. Repay debt and withdraw your collateral. You just unwind the whole position. Option two, which is often the fastest if your reserve fund is ready, is to immediately add collateral. Boost your HF and buy yourself time.
Right.
And option three is a partial exit. Repay some debt, withdraw some collateral, and maintain a smaller, safer position if you think the market might recover.
And the final piece of this is the, let's call it logistical planning. You have to account for real-world problems. Network congestion, insane gas costs during a panic.
Yeah.
You need to calculate how long an exit will actually take.
Exactly. Don't assume it's instant. You have to know your gas budget to execute an exit and make sure you have the funds accessible on the right network before the panic starts.
So to wrap this framework up into a sustainable routine, what are the recommended daily, weekly, and monthly practices?
Routine creates discipline. So daily, you're checking health factors and monitoring protocol news. Simple stuff. Weekly, you calculate your comprehensive risk scores for all positions and review your portfolio allocations.
Right.
And then monthly, that's for the big picture. The full portfolio review, stress testing against new scenarios, and rebalancing your asset allocations.
So what does this all mean? The ultimate payoff for all this work isn't just safety. It's about maximizing your risk-adjusted returns. And this is where we shift from just looking at APY to looking at real performance metrics. The first one is the Sharpe ratio. It measures your return relative to the total volatility. It's your return minus the risk-free rate, all divided by volatility. If your Sharpe is above 1.0, you're doing well for the risk you're taking. If you hit 2.0, that's top tier.
But there's a metric that might be even better for these kinds of strategies, the Sortino ratio.
How is that different?
Instead of dividing by total volatility, we only divide by downside deviation. And that difference is critical. Downside deviation is only the volatility from negative returns.
Ah, so you're ignoring the good volatility when the price goes up, which is what we want.
Mm.
You only get penalized for the market moves that actually hurt you.
Precisely. The Sortino ratio is a much cleaner metric for these safety-focused strategies because it rewards you for limiting losses without punishing you for positive gains. It tells the true story of how safe your hunt for yield really is.
And that brings us full circle, really, to the core philosophy of this entire deep dive. You were so much better off setting up this robust multi-layered framework and earning a safe 4 or 5% than skipping the work, chasing 8 or 10%, and running a constant high liquidation risk. This whole system ensures you focus on protecting capital first and optimizing returns second. That, at the end of the day, is the mindset of a successful professional operator.